Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. Our Sunday worship times are 9 a.m. and 10:45 a.m. If you're looking for a place to worship this Christmas Eve, we have a family-friendly service at 4 p.m. Then we have services at 6 p.m., 8 p.m., and 11 p.m. For those who are grieving during the holidays, we also have a special service called The Longest Night. And that is at 7 p.m. on December 21st. That is a Friday. On the podcast today, we have Jen and Jerry. Jen is a leader of New Hope's grief ministry, and Jerry is a part of the grief ministry. And they are talking about why it's important to remember people who are grieving the loss of their loved ones during this holiday season and what you can do or not do for them. Please enjoy the conversation. Jen and Jerry, thank you for coming in today to talk. I thought it'd be a great idea for somebody from our grief ministry to talk about their own experience, and with the holidays around the corner, with Christmas coming about, there's a lot of people who are experiencing grief during this season, and what can we do to help? So the first question I would ask you too is, how did you get involved with grief ministry and what brought you there?
Well, I am the grief facilitator for these support groups. And
you're Jen.
I'm Jen. Yeah. I'm Jen. And through my own personal losses, which were 4 deaths in 4 years, and starting to work at New Hope, I actually had somebody from the congregation come in who had just lost his wife, and his daughter was here. And I really just started speaking to her from a daughter's point of view of losing her mom. And then I realized through different phone calls that were coming in to the office that we did not have a way to support people in grief in this community. So I worked with some other congregation members here who had run grief ministry before, and worked to get some training and go to some seminars so that I could then start a support group here at New Hope that is open to the entire community. And it has been such a blessing to me to be walking through and companioning those that have just lost. And Jerry was part of our grief group this last semester, and I'll let her talk about her journey of finding us.
I found the grief group through your Sunday morning program. I wasn't there that Sunday, but a friend brought it home, showed it to me, came in and stopped and talked to Jennifer and told her I really didn't think I needed it, but I was interested in it. And it was her encouragement that brought me to the group, and I can only say very good things about it and about Jennifer as a leader of it. She's very compassionate, very understanding, good listener.
Good. So then, like, from your own experience or the experience of others, what is helpful and not helpful for someone who is going through grief? You know, we've talked before in church, I think we had a sermon series about half-truths, and so one of those was how people talk to people going through grief. And for example, I think one of the things that people like to say at a funeral or a memorial is like God wanted them more or something like that. So talk about a little bit about things that are said or things that are done for somebody going through grief. What's helpful, what's not helpful?
Well, let's give you some phrases that we don't want to hear. What don't you want to hear?
What you don't want to hear is it will get better.
Time heals all wounds.
What can I do for you? Do not ask what you can do. Just do for people. Mm-hmm. I have learned that through this myself. I have told people it will get better. That's not particularly what you want to hear because you're not involved in it getting better. Mm-hmm. It's not going to get better. It's going to change. It's going to be good again. But better for some people is not going to be like that. So we've learned that. The other thing I think that we've learned so much from my own being, I wasn't going crazy. to completely lose it when you're at the house or something, to understand you're not going crazy, that your brain is in survivor mode. That is one of the biggest things that I have learned. The other big thing is to have learned about grief burst, how they just happen at the strangest times. You can be in a grocery store, you can be in church, you can hear a song, you can see the favorite food sitting on the shelf, and even Jennifer related to that herself, I believe, with her mom. Yeah.
You never know when it'll hit you.
You just don't, and it,
or what
it'll
will
just come
you.
Out in sobs. It was, I got to use that expression for somebody volunteering at the hospital when I was there, and was a nurse and lost her husband 7 years ago, and she just bursted out crying. And I said, you know what, honey? You're having a grief burst. It's okay. She'd never even heard of that term. And it's something everybody that's grieving, mourning, it's a good thing to know. And it's a good thing to know you're not going crazy when you completely lose it, maybe.
Can I ask, 'cause I've been guilty of saying, let me know if you need anything. What's something else somebody could, you said just do, but what if somebody doesn't know quite what to do? What could be some things that they can do during that time?
What can you do? One of the best gifts that we had at our house was a couple that came not just with food. They brought a box of Kleenex. They brought stamps, which you just don't think that that you do need those right away. You need that box of Kleenex, maybe. But they brought a puzzle. That is something I'm going to remember for my next household that I have to help out with. A puzzle just for people to be able to put out on that table. And personally, I'm not a puzzle person because I don't understand puzzles. But my two adult kids, certainly, and my son-in-law sat down at that table a lot and filled in time, you know, just when you're just sitting around. And so a puzzle is a great thing to bring a person. But just remember, they don't need just food. They need you to be there.
And being there for somebody... It's hard, and I sympathize, and I have grace for those people who, in your times of loss, come to you and say, oh, you know, it'll get better, and you just don't know what to say until you've been in that position. And, you know, part of my goal as a grief facilitator is to educate people on what to say and what they can do, because it is a helpless feeling when someone you know, somebody especially that you're close with, is going through this, and you don't feel like, you just want to make it better. And I think the main thing for people to know is there's nothing that you can do as a companion to make it better. You can be supportive, you can walk through it with them, but you're not going to just magically say something that's going to make it better for them. You're not going to bring something that's just going to magically make it better for them. So I think it's important for people to know that when you're walking with somebody in grief, sometimes you just need to be there. Silence is fine too. Sit with them and let them cry. It's an uncomfortable feeling, it is, to just watch somebody cry and not be able to do anything. But sometimes that's exactly what they need. They need somebody to just listen. They need somebody to let them cry. If you want to do something physical, like Jerry said, bring stamps, bring those thank you notes that, or help them write those thank you notes for after the service that they want to thank people for, or come over and help them, you know, just vacuum. Don't just do, or say, I'm going to come over tomorrow at 1:00. I'd like you to take you to lunch, but if not, we can just sit there, and that's fine too. And don't say, what do you need, or let me know what you need, because they don't know what they need. They just need support. And sometimes just showing up on the doorstep, even with just a puzzle, is what you can do.
And the puzzle strikes me because it's something during that time that you can piece together and solve in a time where it just feels like it's all gray.
Right.
And also, you know, when you're going through grief, you're constantly trying to create meaning or reason to why things are happening the way they are. And I think a puzzle helps with that, right? Because you are finding the pieces and putting it together. And it's just, I think it's a good tool to just use during that process.
It's a visual. It is. It's sort of a visual for people. I had actually never heard of a puzzle before, and when Jerry said that somebody brought her that, I was like, wow, that's genius. That might not work for everyone,
right.
But something in that regard.
But it might work for others that are still there.
Right.
Yeah. It was a great idea. The other thing I think that I learned from going to the group, don't put a time factor on it. We have this mythical 1 year, things are going to change. Don't do anything for 1 year. Our son, who just lost his wife a few months before I lost my husband, completely different with his grief process. He's starting a whole new life, and he's ready to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Did it almost immediately starting on it. That's his way of handling it. That's a great idea for him. Most of us tend to hang on to things a little longer than others, maybe. But just don't put time factors on it. Don't go up to somebody and say, after they have grieved a year, you should be better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's another one of the worst things you can say. There's a misconception about grief, and an old way of thinking was that there were certain stages of grief. Now, while there's possibly stages of grief, they don't happen in any certain order. It's always ebbing and flowing. And again, you know, even after a year, after 7 years, she just said, this woman had a grief burst. And there's no time cap on any grief. You never get over it. You're never going to, and when people say, aren't you over it yet? Or haven't you moved past that yet? You're never over your loss. Your heart was ripped open. You gave your heart to somebody and loved somebody, and it was ripped open. Now, it's healing, but that scar will always be there. They will always be part of your life. You're never just over it. So I think it's important for people to be very careful on what you say to people in grief, because they're ebbing and flowing all the time. They're trying to figure out things will never be better. They just create a new normal. And so they're still trying to figure out what that normal is going to be. For Jerry, she was with her husband for
61 years.
61 mm-hmm. years. You don't just magically end up on your own and you're fine. You know, and many people are like that. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the type of death, whether they were old and, you know, people think, well, he was 93, he lived a good life, or, you know, he was very sick and now he's out of his suffering. None of those things make your grief go away. You know, you might have some relief if they were in suffering, but it certainly doesn't make the loss of them any better.
Yeah.
It's different kind of grief. It's like I explained when I first joined the group. Losing somebody when we're old, we expect that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a shock thing that we had. Doesn't mean my grief is any less than you would be if you lost your person at such a young age. So there's just different forms of grief. Just don't expect people. I think I'm handling it really well, but that doesn't mean to say I'm not covering up a lot of it, I'm sure. I was told by somebody who was in the medical business that she thought I was in shock. I said, I don't think I'm in shock. When you know it was coming and you prayed for it to happen. So there's no shock value there. So just don't tell people what you think how they should be.
Yeah.
That's something for all of us to remember.
Right.
Myself included.
Right.
when you go through something this horrific, it teaches you a lot how to handle the next situation mm-hmm. that you're going to be involved in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've seen that quite a bit with, in my experience with people, is this feeling, not from the person who's grieving, but people from the outside, to try and encourage them to get back to normal. Mm-hmm. And that often comes as anxiety from the person of like, well, I don't want this to make me sad also. You know, kind mm-hmm. of that idea. And so then there's people like, oh, yeah, I hope, you know, they kind of rush the process mm-hmm. for that person. And
some of us can do that, Jordan.
Right.
I'm a firm believer in myself getting back to my normal. Mm-hmm. Without Walt, what is my normal going to be? I'm still trying to figure that out. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I feel sorry for people that think they have to sit back in their house and not do anything because it's not putting them in a good memory factor. Yeah. But I think some people have to live like that to get out of it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's wrong for you to tell people try to get back to normal.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not the piece. I think it's more of
rushing it along. You don't want to rush people yeah. along. Everybody has. Jerry is a very. She is unique. She's got this ready to. Okay, I'm. Uh-huh. She saw her husband suffer. She prayed for his relief, and she has been able to kind of jump back in. Not to say she's not grieving right. and have those moments, but everybody is on their own sort of timeline, and that's why I say there is no timeline. And what may be hard this month may not be hard 3 months from now, but may be hard again 7 months from now. It, like I said, it ebbs and flows. And so the main thing is just to meet people where they're at instead of just assuming, hey, it's been a year, you're good now. Or back to, you know, want to get back to activities. Everyone's different. And not only is everyone different, every day is different mm-hmm. when you're in the grief process.
I always like to remind people that are trying to support people who've lost loved ones that their lives have changed forever, right? When you lose a loved one, no matter if it was expected, non-expected, tragic, non-tragic type, like it's you're changed and you're always remembering that person. I had a student in Michigan in my youth group who her dad unexpectedly passed. It was a weird freak infection thing and doctors didn't catch it. And so from then on, I added it in my calendar on my phone to never mm-hmm. end. So that same day, the death day, that I get a reminder to, I'll just send her a text, say I'm thinking of her today. And because
that's awesome.
People don't forget it, mm-hmm. that it's stamped on mm-hmm. their life. Actually, I think that's tomorrow. I think I saw it on my calendar.
Well, that's another important point. Like, people try to tiptoe around the fact that you remember that you've lost somebody. So mm-hmm. I don't need people to tiptoe around the fact,
absolutely.
That I'm sad or whatever. And it's also, I mean, that is amazing that you have marked that on your calendar. I wish more people could do that and know it's coming up. And the other piece of that is, as a griever, those days will come up, those anniversaries of the death, those wedding anniversaries, the birthdays, Mother's Day, whatever it is. And it's so important to the griever to recognize that those days are coming, not just try to brush them aside. And I'll tell you, even 7 years from losing some key people in my life, that week before, whether I realize it's coming on or not, that anniversary date is coming, that week before, I'll notice a mood change. Your brain remembers. You've had trauma, and your brain remembers certain things, and so then it affects the body. And to have a plan going into the day, especially that first anniversary, and I think really any anniversary of the death or Christmas or whatever it is, to have a plan, we've talked about this a lot in grief group, you have a plan for the day. I'm going to go to the graveyard, or I'm going to go to his favorite restaurant for lunch, or whatever it is. You set yourself up with the plan of what you're going to do. But then if you don't feel like it, or if something is just too much, then you don't, and you don't feel guilty about it. It's the same way going into the holidays. This is a huge time of just mixed emotions. You feel like you're supposed to be joyous because it's Christmas and everybody else is happy, but you're still longing for your loved one, or maybe you're still in the thick of the grief. And it's important to give yourself grace. And one advice, one tip that we give during our holiday workshop is, if you say that you're going to go to a party, a holiday party, you let your host know, I am going to try to be there, but know that I'm still in a weird spot. So if I have to leave or excuse myself or whatever, I'll let you know, and then I want to leave quietly so not everybody's making a big fuss. Or you tell your host, or even in your own house, have that safe zone. Is there a room I can go to if I feel like I just need a minute to gather myself? And then know that that's your safe zone. You can go to that room to gather yourself. But just, I think Jerry just had that, didn't you?
Yes. Yes. I accepted an invite to go to someone's house with two couples that we did a lot with. Called that Saturday afternoon and said, I can't do it. She was very understanding. Of course, they had fun without me, too. So, so I think if everybody just leave that open door for a person, because one moment we think, oh, boy, that sounds like a good idea. I'm ready to do that. Mm-hmm. So just don't rush your people that you're trying to help.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And know that as the griever, you can just do what's best for you. It's called self-care. And if going to that party or needing to leave that party early is best for you, then that's what you do.
Yeah, and you kind of touched on it a little bit, but why do you think it's important to remember people who are grieving during what is quoted as the happiest time of the year? The holiday time, right. The Christmas time.
I don't listen to Christmas music right now.
No?
Yeah. And I was one of before Thanksgiving, I had it on. Mm. And I find that's one of the things that doesn't make me happy right now.
Know what's good for you and not good for you at the same time, and you don't have to feel guilty about it. You know, Jerry has realized that that's just not something she can tolerate right now, and that is okay. Some people don't want to decorate for Christmas, especially if it's the first Christmas. That is okay. You don't need to feel like you're being a Grinch or a curmudgeon or anything like that. This is what it's about, taking care of yourself. The other important.
That's odd, Jennifer, because at first that's what I thought. I'm not going to do anything. Then I thought, no, I'm going to put the tree up. Put up the tree up with all the special ornaments. I just brought up something else from the basement yesterday. So bit by bit, the house is decorated maybe half of what it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I thought, no, you got to do something.
But it's okay. Yeah. It's a tough balance because you do want, you know, some things are just sacred and special. Yeah. And you don't, that's just something you don't want to do anymore because maybe you did it together. But there's also the other side where I think part of working through our grief is pain, is honoring the person lost. So for instance, you know, the smallest thing, you want to just bring up that one ornament that reminds you of something, just bring up that one ornament. Or, and this can happen any day of the year, but what we did in grief group for our last meeting was I have everybody bring their loved one's favorite whatever, favorite dish, favorite, Jerry brought coffee because her husband was a coffee hound. And you just bring something that is then honoring and remembering, because we don't want to just wipe them clean from our memory, but honoring their loved one just by bringing and sharing with others what was their favorite thing. And so we all at 8 o'clock at night had a cup of coffee.
I guess because it had to be black, couldn't be decaf.
And you share that with other people, and sometimes sharing that with other people is a huge part of working through your grief process. Jerry being here today and sharing her story is a huge part of the grief process and working through that and being able to talk about it. Some people aren't ready for that, and that's okay. Sometimes, though, I do get concerned about people who don't want to talk about it at all, the stuffing, and maybe the group environment is not the best for them, but a one-on-one environment. But I think it is an important part of working through your journey. Listen, grief is like being out in the wilderness. You don't know which way you're going without a compass. You don't know which way you're supposed to go. You don't know what's good for you. What can you eat? It is just this ball of confusion. And so taking little steps along the way to navigate through is a huge piece of bringing yourself back to life. And ultimately, our loved ones are gone want us to live our life.
Absolutely.
So if someone is interested in grief ministry or knows somebody that may be, how can they get a hold of you? When do you meet?
This last semester, we usually meet every other week on a Thursday. We should be starting back up. I haven't finalized the dates, but it will be end of January, beginning of February. And the best thing to do is to email griefgroup@newhopeprez.org.
And then also...
Or just step onto the office and talk to Jennifer.
Jerry just came on in.
She'll convince you probably need it.
Jerry just came on in. She's like my little star student. She just came in and said, well, I don't know if I really need this. And she was doing pretty good. And you think you are doing pretty good. I think a lot of us probably think we're doing pretty good. And you can be. And that's fine. But having the support of others who are going through the same thing and just learning some little tools and tips. I have seen Jerry go from, I don't think I need this, to, wow, I didn't know this. And So I think it has been helpful in the long run.
Yes. If anybody listens to this, Jordan, and they're thinking about, I don't know if I need it. I don't know if I want to go and share my grief situation. Go and give it a try.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You'll come back for the next one, too.
Right. I'm not going to hold you hostage. You can always leave. But give it a try.
And also for people to remember, it's all right to talk about that person's loved one. I'm seeing that people tend to stay away from bringing up anything. The ones that will bring up stuff are golfers that he worked with. Those guys will say, they'll mention something about, friends have a problem. They think, oh, the person, maybe she or he is going to start crying if I say something. No, that's not so. And if they do cry, it's no big deal.
Yeah. You're not hurting them.
You're bringing that lovely memory up at their tears of love.
You like to hear their memories.
Well, you do. Yeah. But I find I'm the one that has to bring it up more often than other people.
Yeah.
And because people aren't going to stop me from talking about him.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah. Okay. That's how it is. Yeah. And Jennifer gave us all these little jars with our loved one's name on it, and it's memories of whoever. Mm-hmm. That's a lovely idea.
I guess I would say if you're in grief and you are having troubles expressing it, talking about it, this little memory jar or anything, you could use anything, but write down little things, or you can have other people write down their little memories, stick it in the jar, and then on that anniversary date or their birth date or whatever date, you can bring those out, and then you'll have, somebody was saying they had, anytime a friend came over, they had them write a memory or just a funny little thing or whatever, or an adjective about their loved one, and stick it in this jar, and then you have that to read whenever you want.
Or you just leave it for somebody in your family after you. That's what my thing is.
Yeah,
let them open up and share. Because I've told our friends, I've just started having friends come into the house. That was a biggie. But it's just as hard for them, I found out, to come into the house without Walt being there as it is for me to have them come in and have not Walt being with me. So I've told him, I said, you're all going to write down a memory the next time you come. Mm. So I'm going to have everybody that comes in do me a favor, write a memory down. Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming and talking today about this. I think another piece that people can hold on to this holiday season is at New Hope we have a service called The Longest Night.
Mm-hmm.
That is built around this idea of grief, that there's people around the holidays that are missing their loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I think it's a very powerful service of remembrance and a time to just come. And you don't have to be holly jolly. You don't have to be weeping either, but it's just a time of remembrance, celebrating Christmas with honoring your loved one at the same time.
Yeah. And it's on the 21st.
Friday the 21st at 7 p.m.
Yep.
And may I just say thank you to New Hope for offering that service of having a grief group.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, do you feel good about it? About our interview here? And
yes.
Ready to
say
we're done?
Yes.
Yeah.
All set. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for coming.
Thank you, Jordan.